Hello, hello everyone. GMGM. Welcome to Web3 Magic Podcast. Here I talk with builders of some of the most interesting projects across Web3 space. Interesting by the use case, not by the price of a token. So let's warm up with music and let's jump into today's episode. Hello everyone, welcome back to another episode of Web3 Magic Podcast. Today I'm here with Paddy, and he is from the project which I already, you know, bumped into probably a year ago. And since then, I wanted to learn more and I wanted to try it. And I thought, you know, you should all know about it. And the project is called Minima. Minima Network, Minima Global, whatever you want. But, you know, it's pretty cool. And Paddy is going to tell us all about it.
Hi, welcome, Paddy.
So I'll start with the obvious question. How did you get to blockchain? Where did you start? Why it attracted you?
Yeah, no, absolutely. So hi, thanks for having me on the show. So I'm a techie. I'm an old school techie, been coding my whole life. And 2012, you know, over a decade ago now, I fell down the Bitcoin rabbit hole. And as many of us did, we started on Bitcoin Talk, just a wonderful forum with lots of interesting people talking about stuff. And the minute you sort of see Bitcoin, it strikes you. And it's sort of, for many of us, it's love at first sight. And this is what happened to me. And so I fell down the Bitcoin rabbit hole, and I have been falling since then. And actually, when you start in the Bitcoin world, you know, it's all about the money. And you think it's about that. But when you scratch the surface and you look deeper, you realize it affects and it talks about almost everything that happens in our lives. And you sort of ask yourself the question, why do we need Bitcoin? Why do we need this? Don't I live in a world where I can do the things that Bitcoin purports to do? And then you look deeper and you start seeing that there are powers that be, you know, the TPTB, the people out there who are in charge, and they have a control that you didn't even realize they had. And this pervades all of our lives. And this is the attractive quality of it, because frankly, the point of Bitcoin is freedom. And freedom is the most powerful concept in the world. And once you realize this, you can't think of doing anything else, because you want to fight for that team. You know, you want to be one of the goodies. You want to fight for that. And so I got into Bitcoin. Right. I loved it. I saw the freedom aspect. And I would say that we had our first argument during the SegWit wars. And not to get technical, but when I started using Bitcoin, this is way back when, everybody was the same. Everybody was running the network. We were all running the software on our computers. And it was a very sort of egalitarian thing. Yeah, we were all doing it. We were all making the chain. We were all using Bitcoin. And actually, there came a point where it became apparent that I was no longer that important. And so what I mean by that is that there came a point where there was this argument, and there was one side of the argument was saying, look, we want bigger blocks on Bitcoin. And another set of people saying, well, we don't want bigger blocks. And the point was that I was not going to be the deciding factor in that discussion. Because we had lost the ability, I had lost the ability to influence the network by being a miner. Yeah. So what happens when you run these blockchain systems is that there is this duopoly between the people who run the network and the people who use the network. And in the beginning, that wasn't very apparent. In the beginning, we all did everything. So you didn't think about it. But then there came a point where it became obvious that there were those who ran the network and there were those who, you know, used the network. And that sort of, you know, that grinded at me. That didn't make me happy. I suddenly realized that I wasn't running the network anymore. I was just using the network. And that was really the birth of Minima. And that was where the concepts for Minima, which is the blockchain that I work on, first arose.
Awesome. Would you put it into a time point? Like you
maybe
started
2015, you know, maybe 2014, 2015, that sort of time. I mean, I was thinking about it for a long time before, you know, we've all got jobs and bills and kids and things we have to pay for. So we can't just abandon everything. So even though it was, you know, it started clicking over in my mind, it was probably about 2018, 2019 before I actually started sitting down at a computer and writing code. you know, where I could actually verbalize and describe correctly what it was that we were trying to do, you know, with Minima.
Nice. It's actually a pretty common theme I hear from friends. So I'm originally Czech, and Czechs were pretty early in a Bitcoin scene with Trezor and Parallel Police and all the other guys. And a lot of them actually stayed Bitcoin maxis, I think for their detriment, but it's another discussion.
I mean, I have to say, just on that singular point, because Bitcoin maxis are a very interesting group. And the truth is that I'm kind of a Bitcoin maxi. And actually, what the maxi means, if you ask me, what maxi means is that when it comes to money, yeah, when it comes to this thing that we're mucking about with, there can be only what? Yeah, money is winner take all. There is no point for second place.
Right.
And so when we say we're a Bitcoin maxi, what you're saying is, look, the winner is going to win. They're going to beat everybody. Right. And there isn't going to be room for a second place, because when we find something that we are going to be able to use as our store of value, as our medium of exchange, when everybody decides what that is, everybody will use that one. You won't want to use the second best one. And an example of this, and this is particularly true in decentralized technologies. Yeah, for centralized systems, we've got Apple, we've got Google, fine. You know what I mean? There are two there. But for decentralized systems, where you don't have a leader, we always gravitate towards the singular solution. And I suppose the best example of that is the internet. So the internet, you know, the technology is available. Anybody could actually, if they wanted to, start their own internet. But why would I want to be on your little internet, which doesn't have all the websites, doesn't have YouTube, doesn't have Netflix, doesn't have all of this? Yeah. Yeah, everybody uses the same internet because that's where the liquidity is. That's where all the users are. That's where all the action is. And money, when it wins, is the same thing. And so I'm totally with the Bitcoin maxis. I understand what they're saying. Yeah, it's like Bitcoin's going to win, blah, 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 and that's fine. Yeah, and I agree with them that there's only going to be one winner. And all the other coins are not going to win. That doesn't mean they're useless. Yeah, there's a lot of useful technologies being coming out, you know, but and you don't have to be harsh. You don't have to be this toxic maxi. That's a different thing. That's just something that techies do.
That's
why the maxis are important. And just to expound on that point, you know, when you're a coder, I'm a coder, and when you're a techie and you see beautiful technology like this, you see something like this, how can you not want to touch in and play with it? And, you know, this idea that you shouldn't be allowed to write another version. You shouldn't even think about writing another version. This is preposterous. This is like waving a red rag to a bull. It's like, what do you mean? I can't have a go at writing a better version of Bitcoin. You know, you can go to where you should be going, and I will do what I want, because that's what techies do. That's what coders do. And frankly, I'd be remiss in my duties as a coder if I didn't try to write a better version of Bitcoin. Whether I do or not, you know, we'll find out in the long run. But the lure is too great, to a true tech.
I like the way you said it. And yeah, I should probably say originally that, you know, I hear it mostly from, I would say, maybe the maxis on the toxic side, like nothing else matters and you guys shouldn't work on anything else and you shouldn't use anything else.
Yeah, this is wrong.
That's kind of, you know,
clearly learned lots and lots of things from other chains. They're wonderful test beds, lots of experimentation, so much great stuff and work is going on that can be cherry picked, you know, and all the good stuff's being ported over to the winner. We share all my code is open source, all their code is open source. You know, we're helping each other. You know, to simply dismiss them out of hand is wrong, frankly. Now, whether they're going to win and whether that's a different discussion. But their work they're doing is valuable. Yeah, it's not nothing.
Yeah, agreed. Okay, so let's jump forward to the time when you actually, you know, had opportunity to sit down and start Minima. So how did you guys got together with the team and how it all started?
So originally it was just yours truly sitting in a coffee shop with a laptop, Pixelbook, lovely, best keyboard of any laptop I've ever had. Just writing a white paper,
really good.
Beautiful laptop. Trying to decide what it is that we're trying to do. So I'm just going to give a very quick explanation of what the point of a blockchain is, because not a lot of people seem to understand this. So as I said earlier, what we're here trying to do, what we're fighting for, what Bitcoin is here to do is freedom. Yeah. And freedom is just important for everything. Yeah. And we're sort of losing it. You know, everybody realizes now that that our freedoms are being taken away from us. And the argument is very simple. And it goes like this, that if you want freedom, yeah, if you want freedom of speech, yeah, freedom of thought, yeah, freedom of money. Yeah. So let's start with the freedom of speech. You know, think of it like that way. Then you must have a censorship resistant network. You know, I cannot stop you speaking to someone if I want you to have freedom of speech. Freedom of speech requires censorship resistance. Okay, this is the first thing that you sort of realize. It's like, well, look, if you can stop me from saying something or if you can stop me from thinking something, then I'm not really free. Yeah. So freedom of speech, freedom requires censorship resistance. And now the thing is that censorship resistance requires, because we have no other way of doing it, there's no other system for doing this, decentralization. So what that means is that what we're saying here is that when you have a centralized system, as in there's a system where there's somebody in the middle or a server in the middle or some company in the middle, they're very easy to attack. Yeah, it's very easy for me to censor what you're saying or what you're thinking or who you're sending money to if there's one person that I have to coerce or bribe or talk to. And if it were possible to have censorship resistance in a centralized system, we'd have done it by now. Yeah, Bitcoin wouldn't have done anything special. And the point is that we don't have censorship resistance because we can't do it in a centralized system. So then you go, okay, so I need freedom. I want freedom. So I need censorship resistance. And if I want censorship resistance, then it has to be decentralized because centralized systems are so easy to attack. And here's the point. For a decentralized system, this is the thing that Satoshi gave us. This is what Bitcoin showed us. If you want to have a system that operates in a decentralized environment, you need a blockchain. That's what blockchain does. What blockchain allows us to do is to operate and to coordinate and to come to a consensus, yeah, on the nearest bit to every, you know, to the minuscule level. I know exactly, me and somebody else can agree in a decentralized way exactly the order of events. And before Satoshi, we couldn't do that. We simply didn't have the tech to do that. So Blockchain works in decentralized systems, gives me anti-censorship, means we have freedom. And this is the point, that if you're going to use a blockchain, it must be decentralized. And if you're not going to be decentralized, there is no point using a blockchain. This is the other thing that people don't understand. Blockchains themselves are a complete nightmare. Yeah, they're terrible, terrible databases. They're really slow. They're really clunky. They're very expensive. They're very complicated. You know what I mean? You wouldn't use a blockchain for anything other than to get this decentralized consensus system going. I see this all the time, everywhere. I see lots of blockchains. Yeah. Solana, Ethereum,
centralized,
blah, blah, blah.
Centralized.
And the point is, they're like, no, no, don't worry. We're using blockchain. And it's like, look, if you're not going to be decentralized, don't use a blockchain. It's a total nightmare. And so this is where Minima comes in. So what I realized I wanted for Minima, the only thing that matters for Minima is that it is completely decentralized. That is the only reason. Once you've got your decentralized system working, once you've got your blockchain and it's decentralized, then we can worry about the scripting language, the block size, you know, how cool the transactions are, I can do what I can do on it. But that is secondary. Yeah, that comes in after you have your original system that is decentralized. And importantly, if any of the things you're going to add to this system are going to impact the decentralization, you're not allowed to have them. They're no good. They have to go. Yeah, because that's the only thing that matters. Okay, everything else is the bonus. But the thing that we're doing here is a decentralized system. So then you're sitting there and you're thinking, okay, so I want a completely decentralized blockchain. And you look at all the other chains out there, and Minima is different to every single other blockchain out there, which I'm quite happy about. And what I mean by that is that every other blockchain out there has this thing where you have the users and you have the miners, where you have those who use the network and you have those who run the network. And so the users rely on someone else. The users need someone else. And in a truly decentralized system, you should never need anybody else. I should be enough. You should be enough. If you want to do this with your friend, you should be, you don't need me. And so Minima comes in and it goes, okay, so we need a system that is perfectly decentralized, that will never centralize. Yeah. Because when you're looking at this mining, when you're looking at these people who are running the network, there's only one way this goes. Yeah, you can see it happening clear as day in front of us. And what I mean by that is that mining is an industry now. Yeah, it's big business.
No, big business.
We've seen what happens to businesses thousands and thousands of times for thousands and thousands of years. We know exactly how this ends. Yeah, all businesses always converge to a monopoly because that's what business does. It's very efficient at doing that. Yeah, there's always going to be a winner. And as soon as you get the monopoly, as soon as you get one person in charge, Bitcoin's broken, blockchain's broken. It means you've got one person in charge of making the blocks. Yeah. So we can never allow that to happen. We cannot have a business running the construction of the chain. We cannot have people in charge of the chain. Yeah. Because that's what's going to happen. You know, otherwise it wouldn't work. If the business didn't make money, you know, however cool Bitcoin mining is and, you know, Solana mining and ETH mining and all of that, it's still a business, you know, even though it uses cool technical digital stuff. So what do we have to do? So you say to yourself, okay, so I need to come up with a system that every user can run in the same way, exactly the same. There's no difference between users. I'm not a user and you're, everybody's the same. And so the first thing you think about is, well, look, what can I run this on? And you say, well, look, I can't run it on, you know, laptops because, no, you know, half the planet doesn't have a laptop, and I certainly can't run it on servers. And so what's the only device that I can reasonably expect people to have access to? And you say, well, they've got a mobile phone. Okay, so I've got to run this in full. Yeah, not a light client, not a weird thing, not just like a, you know, not just like a wallet. The whole thing needs to run on a mobile phone. And you're like, oh, okay, fine. And then you think to yourself, okay, well, so these are my requirements. Yeah, these are the boundaries I'm putting onto my, you know, onto my project. And then you think to yourself, okay, what else do I need? And you're like, well, I need some way of storing this enormous amount of data on your phone. Yeah. And you think, okay, well, let's have a look. And we have a huge advantage here because I have the luxury of looking back through all the past blockchain battles and cherry picking all the stuff that has been made. Yeah, this is the point. We're all working together here. This is an open source system. We're all building off each other, standing on each other's shoulders. And actually, with the benefit of hindsight, there have been beautiful inventions that have been made in this field that allow you to do things like, instead of having a database that stores all the data, I can have a database where you store the data that is relevant to you, and I store just the data that is relevant to me, and we can still agree on what is the complete amount of data. This is called a proof database, yeah, which was actually created after Bitcoin, yeah, which you can't sort of crowbar into these things later. So you're like, oh, okay, cool, that can happen. And then you think to yourself, all right, so there's technology that I can use. Another thing you have to think about is, you know, developers, people like me, people who will never stop playing if you let me play. So you have to get rid of me. How do you get rid of me? You have to have the protocol has to be finished. It can't be a protocol which is like, and then we're doing this epoch, and then there's another thing that we're doing, and then we're going to be adding this. No, that can't happen. I have to remove myself from the equation. So the protocol had to be finished completely and utterly. This is what you get. This is it. This is all you're ever going to get.
Okay.
So that's another thing that you're thinking, okay. And then the final one is, well, look, how now let's do that. But how are we going to get rid of this business element? How are we going to get rid of the miners? How are we going to make it so that every user is the same? And actually, it's actually quite easy. And what you do is you flip it. And so, not to get technical, but the way that all the other chains work is that they play a competitive game, yeah, where the miners, the stakers, whatever you want to call it, they fight with each other, and it's called a win-lose game. Yeah, one of them wins, one of them loses. One of them wins. I got the block, you didn't get it. I got the reward, you didn't get it. Yeah, this is where the business element comes in. This is where the money making comes in. And so you say to yourself, well, what if I got rid of that? What if instead of having a competitive game, which is win-lose at the base layer, we have a cooperative game where me and you work on the same team, where all of us work on the same team? And so that's what Minima does. And what Minima does is it says, look, instead of some of us grinding away, you know, Minima is a proof of work chain, blah, blah, blah. Instead of one of us grinding away or using our funds or whatever to build the chain, we don't do that. We say that everybody has to do a little bit of work. And then we get all of that work and we put it together, and that's what we use to secure the chain. And importantly, you're not rewarded financially for that work. That work is something you do to be allowed on the network. So the utility of the network is the reward you get for the work you do. So it allows you to have access. And when I say work, I mean like 1%, you know, I mean a very small amount.
Sure.
And what's nice about this is you say, okay, so in this, in the old paradigm, you have 10 really big, powerful miners. Yeah. But in the minima paradigm, you have 10 million really small, you know, really tiny people who each do a little bit of work. And what's good is that 10 times a really big number is equal to 10 million times a really small number. So everybody on the minima network works together in a cooperative game where what is good for you is good for me. This is called a win-win scenario. Yeah, where we either both win or we both lose. Yeah, so when I do something, it helps you. And when you do something, it helps me. Yeah, we're cooperating at the base level. Then you take all these pieces, you stick them in, you start coding, you get away with it. And you know what? At the end of it, you do it. You pop out with Minima. And that's what Minima does. We've now got a blockchain that runs on your phone that doesn't use up terabytes of data because everybody only stores what matters to them. Where we have no incentive, no financial incentive to work more than somebody else. I do the minimum amount of work that I'm required to do to access the network. And we now have a completely decentralized blockchain where everybody's mucking about with everybody. And there's no, like, this is an interesting one, yeah? Because the larger any blockchain gets, this is objectively true when you look at every single other blockchain out there, the larger a blockchain gets, the more centralized it becomes. The larger Minima gets, the more decentralized it becomes. Now, that sounds like a decentralized system to me. Yeah, that's what I want from my system. And that's what we're working on here at Minima.
So that was an awesome story. It sounds a little bit like a fairy tale because it's
I know,
seems so,
and yet it's true.
So obvious,
that's what's
right?
So amazing. It's like, oh, so it did. So you can do these things. Yeah, mathematically, it is possible to do that. Yeah.
And you know, it just seems so obvious, right? That you would assume that if you remove the financial incentive and you ask people for some work to actually
small
use the
amount,
network.
Like a completely insignificant amount of work, like running WhatsApp in the background. Like you run WhatsApp on your phone. Everybody's got WhatsApp. It's doing something. Yeah. You don't care because you get the utility of people being able to send messages to you. Like, yeah, I don't mind. It's running in the background, doing whatever it does. I don't notice. Well, let's take that concept and stick it on a blockchain.
Yeah. Awesome. I remember when I was in Barcelona, when I met Adam, there was a small meetup of your fan base, local fan base.
Yeah,
and, and they were like, you know, freedom of speech Maxis. I loved it. They were like, yo, yeah, we love Minima because, you know, I run it on 3 phones and I run it on 1. And
and it runs on everything. And what you want, I mean, it's a compact, it's known as a compact chain because it's very, very tiny and it runs on everything. You know, you want to put it on a chip, you want to put it on your toaster. You know, the goal eventually is for your toaster to pay for the electricity it uses in real time when it, you know, makes your toast. And it's got a little chip in it and it does Minima and it pays for transactions over Lightning and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, so yeah, that's the goal.
So there is a lot of, I would say, there is a number of interesting questions which all smell a little bit technical, so I'll store them for later. So you guys brought it to life in around 2019, 2018.
Testnet for a couple of years to 2020. we've been live now with mainnet for about a year. Yeah.
Right. So that was last year. Yeah.
And that's when we went live mainnet. Boom. I'm gonna have to give you another little point here, Pete, which you're gonna So for me, you know, what the strongest meme in crypto is 21 million. Everyone loves 21 million. There's a fixed amount of Bitcoins. It's like that's what we love. Yeah, I want to know that this is how much money there is, and you're never gonna muck about with that.
Yeah.
And if you ask me, this is the difference between the fundamental difference between the Bitcoiners and the Ethereans. And so on Bitcoin, you have 21 million, but you have to pay the miners. And this causes a problem because it means, well, look, if we have to pay the miners and we can't print more money, the fees have to be enough to do the security. This means that the fees have to be stratospheric. They have to be high, really high, because otherwise my security is really low. So I can't have low fees on Bitcoin. I must have very high fees to pay the miners so that they can secure the network. Because if I don't pay them, my security on Bitcoin is dependent on the fees. This could be a problem. This could price out the whole planet, frankly, eventually. That's where this is going. That's how much you're going to have to pay them. Now, then you've got the Ethereum boys, and they're like, we understand this, yeah? And so we think that instead of having a fixed amount of money, we're going to print money. Yeah, we're going to print money that pays the miners. Okay, cool, that's fine. So you're never going to have to worry about being able to have the security because you're always going to be paying your miners. But you've now got rid of the totally cool thing that everybody loves, which is the fixed cap. Yeah, Ethereum doesn't have a fixed cap. You know, they've tried to do EIP 1559, which I hate. The most complicated solution to a simple answer, but it's fine. So they have this thing where they print money, yeah? So they can pay their miners, but they lost the 21 million. Well, if you use a cooperative network like Minima, so the security of Minima is not dependent on fees, because the fee, we do have a burn, because that is what prioritizes your transaction, yeah? So if you want your transaction, a burn can be thought of as a fee that you pay to everybody. Because when I burn some coins, this means the total amount goes down a little bit, so everybody's is worth a little bit more. So you can think of a burn as a fee that you pay everybody. And we do have that on the network as a way of restricting flow. Yeah, otherwise you'd have a million transactions on the chain. Yeah. But with a cooperative like ours, we have a fixed cap. Yeah, we have the fixed cap. There's 1 billion Minima coins. You can have any amount. We picked a billion because people want to own more than one coin, but I wanted to have 21 million. It doesn't matter. I was overruled.
21 billion.
What exactly? But anyway, we've got a fixed amount, but our security is not dependent on fees. The security of Minima is only dependent on the number of users. Yeah. And so that means we don't have this issue in the future of thinking, are we going to be able to pay for security? And in fact, when you said, is this a fairy tale? What I will admit to you is that you can't get everything for nothing. There's nothing for nothing in this world. And so what is the sacrifice that Minima has had to make to achieve what it has? Minima only works at scale. So Minima will only be a functional secure chain if a lot of people use it. We need a lot of users because our security is based on all the little bits of work that all of our users do. You know, you can't have 100
people number? At Minima. So what's the minimum number so you guys would feel like it's okay?
I mean, once you start reaching in the 10 to 20 million, I mean, you know, these are, I mean, frankly, compared to TikTok, compared to Snapchat, these are still small numbers. Yeah. Right. But either, as I said earlier at the beginning of the conversation, either this works and everybody uses it because there's only going to be one, Pete. Yeah, that's how this goes.
True.
Or it's not going to work. So as soon as you, what I'd like, what Minima wants is 1%, 1% of the world. As in 1% of your processing power, 1% of your hard drive, I want 1% of your RAM, 1% of your battery. But if you gave us 1%, we could have the network forever undefeatable. No one is going to be able to get that level of, you know, 1% in a mining scenario isn't that much, yeah, because there's going to be really big miners out there who could come together. When you look at the distribution of the hash rate or the distribution of the stake on any of the other chains, it's always a problem. It's always these two together could outdo the... Whereas when you've got 100 million tiny little flex, they're never going to be able to come together in, you know, consensus to do it. So we get that.
Totally.
Yeah. So Minima has that. We don't have that issue, which is really nice, frankly.
Nice. I know that you guys had the... I think you called it Decentra Day or something when you guys turned off your own
servers.
So this
is another thing, yeah?
So you want to talk about it?
It's not often, in fact, I can't think of an example where a business, for instance, tries to remove itself from an environment, yeah? Because you want to be there. If you're a business, you want to be right in the middle because everything goes through you and you're making money and everyone's, you know, you don't want to cut yourself out of the action. That is exactly the problem. I have to be cut out from the action. You have to get rid of me. We have to get rid of Minima. And so, not to get technical again, when you turn one of these block, when you run this software, when you run any of this software, yeah, like you're running Solana, you're running Ethereum, whatever, in the code, it says, okay, you're trying to connect to the network. This is an issue with networks. Yeah, this is a network topology thing. Who do I speak to? Where's the party? How do I get to the party? In the software, they say, here's the address. Here are the addresses of some people at the party. That sounds centralized to me. Yeah. What does that mean? There's 10 addresses in the code. I could DOS them. I could denial of service. I could attack them. I'm the US government. I can do anything. Yeah. I've got an army. I can do whatever I want. I look at the 10 addresses. I take them down. Yeah. I attack them. I arrest them. I send them all to jail. Now, when you turn your software on, it goes, hey, I'm trying to get to the party, but all the people that you told me were there aren't there anymore. So what do you do? So what Minima does, we've removed all of that. So actually, when you turn Minima on the first time, only the first time, yeah, you're standing there and you're like, look, I want to go to the Minima party. Where is it? You need to know someone at the party. That's the only way. I need to say to someone, hey, you're at the party. What's the address? And they say, oh, the address is here. Yeah, 123.75. And you go, okay, you type it in. Then you go to the party. Then you meet lots of people at the party. And then you know loads of people. And then that's it. You're there. You're connected to the network. The peer-to-peer network goes. So on Decentra Day, we turned off all of our infra. We don't run any of the network at all. It is just the users running the network. So importantly, if you know something were to happen, if we were to disappear tomorrow, aliens take us away, the whole of the Minima, Minima Global disappears tomorrow, the network is unaffected. That's so cool. Yeah. Nice. It's like, we're not important. We don't, we matter in that we are here to help you when we write code. And, you know, when you think of I'm getting excited now, Pete. I'm excited. When you think of email, yeah. You think of your email protocol, yeah. Email was finished, the protocol, 40 years ago. Yeah. They haven't touched email. POP3, IMAP, it's done. They're still spending $100 million a year writing Outlook. So the client that interfaces with the protocol, that you can constantly upgrade and make cooler. And now the wallet does this and, oh, I've got a little picture of you and blah, blah, blah. But the protocol itself is finished. It doesn't change. That's how Minima is now. We have a protocol.
I see.
It's finished. We're not used in that. And we're writing the client. We're writing the best client, and we update that and we upgrade that. And, hopefully that'll go on for as long as possible. But should we disappear tomorrow, the network is unaffected. And that makes me happy. Yeah, that sounds decentralized to me. Yeah,
that sounds definitely decentralized, and I like there how you got excited. That's cool.
Yeah, that's Decentral Day. Yeah, they came up with the name.
Okay, so let me. So typical question is how big is the team? And what keeps you alive, guys? What's the business model? Because you removed yourself. Sure, you can work on clients, you can work with.
Yep. So originally, unfortunately, there's no other way of doing this. You have to get money from investors. You have to sell them coins. We only had 1 billion coins, and there's no mechanism on Minima to distribute coins to miners because we don't have any mining. So we had the coins at the beginning. We had to go to, people and say, look, we'll give you the coins cheap if you give us some money so that we can write the client and blah, blah, blah. But actually, what was quite interesting is that when we first launched Minima, you want to distribute these coins to as many people as possible. You want as many people on the network as possible. So when we started the network, we had a testnet phase where if you ran the software, we gave you one Minima a day. And actually, we managed to get 250,000 people on that. Yeah, 250,000 people were running it. And they've all got hundreds, maybe 1,000, 1,000 Minima each.
Definitely those I met in Barcelona.
Exactly. And so we try to give away 51% of the coins to the community. Yeah, we wanted to give away as many coins as we could for running the software, for helping us debug it, blah, blah, blah. So we have money that we got from the beginning. We have a few coins left that we can still sell, that we're doing it. But the distribution is good. Yeah, we use the coins we have to try and make, whatever we can make. And so that's how we keep ourselves going. But as you say, it's not going to last forever, sir. No. You want to run a business. Yeah. You want to actually, the point about this stuff is that you can buy and sell stuff. And so eventually what you want to do is you want to actually run, a profitable business, that accepts Minima. Cool. And we're the best. And, we're in discussions with telcos, telecommunications and vehicle things, whatever. And they like Minima because, they don't have to spend any money on the infrastructure because the phone network is the infrastructure. And they have to hire us because we're the best at writing this code and they pay us to write their code. And all of the value trickles down to Minima, the base asset. So I guess we're a tech house now that works with, large businesses who pay us to write them software and et cetera, et cetera.
It's actually very nice because, I have to say that I was surprised by the car announcement that know, you guys work on cars. Because for the first announcement I expected was from telcos. Was like, this is obvious, right? So you are using their networks.
Let me tell you, those telcos, they are so slow. And they're just like, they have systems and they don't want to touch anything. And you're telling them, look, we can give you a system, but you're going to have to think outside of the box. And they're like, I don't like thinking outside of the box. I just want my normal... Too slow. I agree. Yeah. You know, telcos.
Well, you know, if the car company can be faster than a telco, that's a disaster, I think.
They're all, I mean, I have to say, they're all going out of business. Yeah, they're not going to be able to keep up with it. It's interesting because at the moment we're seeing that play out in real time with the Bitcoin ETFs. Mm-hmm. Yeah, as the TradFi world tries to integrate with crypto. And we're crypto, yeah? We're like, look, where's the smart contract, which is BlackRock ETF, and I'm just sending the tokens to the Grayscale ETF. And it's like, that's not how it works in TradFi. Yeah, I have to do a request to Coinbase that does a short and sells. They buy a futures to hedge, and then 4 hours later, and I'm like, what? So when do I find out how much they bought? And it's like 3 or 4 days later. I'm like, 3 or 4 days? Luna went down in 2 hours. Come on, man. We operate 100 times faster than these businesses. They're all going down. Anybody who doesn't get on this train is being left behind. Yeah. And we're seeing that. It's like, you guys are so slow. You know, we don't even realize how fast we're moving in this space. Yeah.
Yeah, possible. Okay. Look, I've already taken pretty big a chunk of your time, but I definitely have one more question. So obviously, what's up for Minima in 2024, 2025? What should people look out for?
So... I mean, I guess the truth is,
what are you
Minima,
excited about? Doesn't have to be a big
thing. I'm excited about Minima. I love using Minima. It's the chain that I want. Yeah. I hate to say this, but whether you all like it, that's fine. But frankly, this is the one
I love.
This is my baby. I love it. Yeah. This is the one I want. I wish Bitcoin was like this. I wish this is how it was. And that's why I love it. But in the next couple of years, we need a breakthrough. We need a breakthrough to the other side. We need to, you know, get our message out there. You know, if you ask one person in a million whether they know about Minima, yeah, one person in a million knows about Minima. We need that to become 10, 100. You know, we need to have the Twitter space. We need the Twitterati. We need crypto Twitter to start realizing, you know, that we're different. We're not like the other chains, like none of them. Every single other chain operates in this competitive miner user basis, and Minima is the only one. And frankly, that's enough. That's a lot. That's not nothing. Just the fact that we're so different to the way the other chains work. Yeah, we're a blockchain. You can do this. Can you do all the other stuff? NFTs and all that. Yeah. You can do all of that. But unless you break through, unless we become, you know, recognized by the wider community, it's not going to happen. And so that's what we've got to try to do now. And actually, I will say it's taken a year to get to where we are now. And we weren't ready a year ago. Yeah, the bugs, the breaks. He's done that. Something's happened, blah, blah, blah. We're stable now. We've got a good network. The software works. You know, we've got lots of, you know, you can run on your computer. You can run on your phone. You can run it. We've got a nice, like, for instance, you know, we were mentioning earlier about, you know, other chains not doing useful stuff. I totally disagree with that. And so, for instance, what has been a great success of the crypto world? Now, whether or not you like Ethereum, MetaMask.
I like it.
Huge success. Got to say, brilliant. And the reason it was so brilliant is because it suddenly allowed web developers, millions and hundreds of millions of web developers, yeah? And now they can write software in a sort of HTML way and integrate with blockchain. And it's like, okay, so we're going to open up this space to all of these developers. And objectively, huge success. Massive amounts of development, lots of people writing these apps just because of MetaMask, just because they did a plugin in the browser so that I can now write a website that sends and receives NFTs or Ethereum. Beautiful. Really, really like it. So what do we do at Minima? So we have this thing called mini dApps. Now, when I say to someone, they say to me, hey, have you used this new decentralized application? I'm like, cool, send it to me. And they're like, no, you have to go to www.uniswap.com. And I'm like, well, that doesn't sound very decentralized to me. What if they take the website down? So actually, the way Minima does it is that every single phone, every single instance of Minima runs a little web server and runs a little version of Minima Mask. Yeah, we run our own version. And you can then write applications as websites. Yeah, we call them mini dApps. You zip them up and I send it to you. And then you can use it. And it's the same as MetaMask. You get a nice big, you know, it's a web page, just like a normal web page and all the things, but you can do stuff on Minima. And this is the important bit. unlike MetaMask, which is totally centralized because all of your transactions go through Infura. You know, if they turned off Infura tomorrow, 99.9% of people would be totally screwed. There's nothing you can do about
me
it.
Included.
You know, they say, oh, you just have to run your own ETH node. And it's like, I can't even run my own ETH node and I'm a tech genius. You know what I mean? It's like, forget about it. That's it. You've lost everybody. Totally centralized. Whereas on Minima, your mini dApp talks to your server because everybody runs everything. Everybody processes every transaction. Everybody's involved in the construction of the chain. And so a mini dApp runs through you. You're the only thing. And so when two people are using a mini dApp, that's it. They're off. Nobody can get in touch. Nobody can interfere with that. I can't switch it off. I can't turn it off. I like that. Yeah. It's like you're free. So that's a great success, MetaMask. And we copied that and we do mini dApps, which are the same sort of thing. Web applications that interface with your node. Beautiful. Love it.
So I assume anyone can write mini dApps, right?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Anybody? Distribute them, send them, do whatever they want with them.
Must be interesting. The initial distribution. It's like, oh yeah, here are my 10 friends. Yeah. Let's see how it works.
Yeah, exactly. And once you've got a mini dApp, I can't take it off you. I can't turn it off. I was a big Ether Delta man back in the day. Do you remember Ether Delta? You seem a bit techie, actually, Pete.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, right. A little bit, but yeah.
But that was where we all started swapping ERC20s. And we loved it, yeah? And then they changed it. They sold the website to some Chinese people, blah, 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 and they ruined it. They broke it. And it was like, oh my God, you totally ruined the site. So I thought to myself, all right, this is decentralized. I can do this. I understand this stuff. I'll set up my own version. Total nightmare. Couldn't do it. You know, this, that. If I can't do it, no one can do it. No offense. Yeah. I couldn't do it. And I never want that to happen again. So if you're running a mini dApp, I'd never want, you know, when they change, when Uniswap said, right, we're not allowing transactions to Iran, you know, whether that's apolitical, I'm apolitical. Yeah. Blockchain must be agnostic to all of that stuff. Freedom, you know, is a two-way street, sir. Yeah. And when they start changing that stuff, you're like, well, look, I'm, you know, and they say on Twitter, well, just run your own version. It's like, no way. There's no way you're going to be able to do that. So, you know, you need to have your own copy of it and nobody can ever interfere with us. That's freedom.
Right. That sounds super cool. So, you know, I got all I hoped for today because, you know, it was not only exciting conversation, but a lot of information, which I believe will put a lot of things people hear daily on Twitter Spaces into a different perspective. And hopefully we'll make some of them think about, you know, what decentralization really means or what do they want if somebody says,
why do we need
do we need it? And when somebody says we are decentralized, what questions you can ask? It's like, is it really true? And obviously, I hope, you know, there is going to be a number of people tempted to go and try Minima and maybe even do some dApps.
Thanks so much. It's minima.global. Yeah. If you want to go to the website, minima.global. Minima. Nobody uses .com anymore. Yeah, that's dead.
No.
It's minima.global now.
Yeah. And I'll put, of course, all the links to show notes. So, you know, if there are any other links you want me to share, no problem. I will.
Okay, cool. That's the one. Go there.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Bay. It was awesome to have you. And I'm looking forward to what's coming up with Minima in 2024.
Thank you so much, Pete. It's a real pleasure. Thanks so much.
Thank you. And that was it for today. I hope you enjoyed the conversation. If you want to connect with my guest or if you're interested in some of the points that were discussed today, just check the show notes for links. And don't forget to subscribe for future episodes. Also, if you are compelled, please leave a review. It helps others to find the podcast, and you can surely share it with your friends to save them the trouble of discovery process. I definitely hope you would do that for me. One more thing. From January 2024, there is an option for the interested collectors to mint the episode or just the episode's art, which is always uniquely created by me for each guest and project. So go check the show notes to find out more. Until next time, keep it colorful and stay positive, friends. Ciao!